Welcome to Witchcrafts, an occasional deep dive into North American folk witchery with Corey and Lane from New World Witchery. This time around, we're talking bottle spells. Hello, Lane.
Hello.
How are you? How's your crafting journey going this particular fine spring evening?
You sound very relaxed.
I guess I am. I don't know. I'm excited to start what we're doing here. Because one, it means that we've crossed an interesting threshold with our Patreon, right? So this is because we've reached our next tier, we're doing these kind of practical episodes. But this is also something kind of reaching back to way, way back when we started the show. We would do these kind of special episodes that were more practically oriented. And I really enjoyed those. I enjoy us like doing magical experiments. And I saw, you know, you've kind of been getting a little more, I don't know about experimental, but a little more like hands-on. I saw on your Insta, you were posting up some altar pictures and stuff like that. So,
yeah. And it was because of both the book that we've been reading and because of this new little, I guess, mini episodes that we're going to be doing. So they all kind of go hand in hand. So that's, it's nice to kind of be pushed a little bit in a way. Obligation kind of has bad connotations sometimes, but I mean it in a good way to kind of have a little bit of an obligation. And I like it.
Yeah. That feeling of sort of being responsible for having this task to do. But at the same time, like that also makes us sort of feel like, oh, well, you know, may as well try this out. It's not going to hurt us. I mean, we've done this even in the interim, like when we did the Ritual of Gestures, right? We sort of did that as an experimental practice, right? But then, you know, this means that, you know, every 2-ish months or so, kind of every other month, we'll be doing these little practical episodes where we talk about an experiment that we want to try or that we've put some time and effort into. We've done a little bit of magical work with some aspect of our practice. We'll compare notes, see, you know, what bubbles out of the cauldron, so to speak. So, and so what was our theme this time?
Jars. Witches love jars.
Witches do love jars. I love them so much, in fact, that I did three.
Did you really?
Well, I've actually done 2.5. I've got one that's still in process being made, but we'll talk about all that.
Okay.
So.
I have some jars somewhere that were kind of smaller. And I know exactly where I put them, and I went to grab them, and they were not there. And I was like, what the hell? Where did they go? And I looked, and I looked, and I could not find them. So I texted a friend, and I was like, hey, do you have a jar I could borrow? And she was like, of course, because she is a witch too. As yes, well. And so, she brought me the jar, and I was like, thank you. You've saved me.
She's like, anytime, dear, anytime.
Yes. She
fades back into her magical cottage with jars all around her.
Basically.
Yes. I love that. And it is funny. Like, jars are such a major part of when we think of witchcraft. There's like so many jar spells that we can do. And one thing I kind of found in doing this was like, I was kind of tackling it from a lot of different angles. And each time, initially when I set out to do kind of like a jar spell, I was sort of like, oh, what do I need that fits into a jar spell right now? And it took me a little while to hit on anything. And then all of a sudden I was like, well, what if I do this one? And as soon as I decided on doing that one, then all of a sudden the other one started popping up like, well, what about this one? Well, what about this one? What about this? And it's just sort of like, and then it became a sort of, you know, when it rains, it pours.
Yeah.
You know, situation. So.
So do you want to talk about yours and what you did?
Sure. Yeah. Okay. I'll go first. Do you want me to just do all three of them and then we'll do yours and just kind of compare notes post that?
Sure.
All right. Sounds good. Like I said, I did 2.5. The half is I'm actually putting together a new witch bottle, which is just for those who don't know, we covered this way, 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 way back. But witch bottles are, they're actually kind of a warding spell or a protection spell where you put you know, pieces of glass or bent up pins, needles. You just collect kind of sharp things in a bottle. Fill it with a little bit of urine, your urine. You'll oftentimes seal that with a stopper or a cork. Sometimes you'll add some additional stuff in there too. The one rule seems to be don't put blood in there, but that's just because that's kind of an active living ingredient and you don't want to I assume it's because you don't want to kind of like attach your sort of living life force to the jar, because the whole idea is that it's going to take a lot of magical hits for you. So, yeah, I mean, that's, yeah,
this is super weird place to go, but I actually had been talking about like putting random fluids into jar spells with this same friend and her husband. And we were talking about period blood and how that's like dead blood. So I wonder if that's any different.
I've seen a lot of people say, yes, that's fine. Because again, it is blood, but it's not living blood coming out of your veins. It's actually kind of I mean, you know this better than I do, obviously, right? Like it's just kind of a buildup, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's your uterus being like, hey, I made the room all ready for the baby. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, there's no baby. It's like, well, fine then. I'll just ruin everything. At least that's mine anyway.
I love that you turned your uterus into some kind of like a bridezilla. That's hilarious.
Basically. Mine hates me, so.
Oh, my gosh. rampaging hormone monster.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah. And so, I mean, so the way I've seen it talked about, and again, I don't have any, I have no frame of reference for this personally. Like I can't make any claims on this and I don't want to mansplain anything, but like my understanding from what I've read from others is yes, that's how people treat it, is that it is quote unquote dead blood. It still has magical powers, still has magical qualities, but it's not as though you've taken your living blood from your veins, which was keeping you alive, which actually was animating you, and then offered a little bit of that into whatever the spell was. It's a slightly different take on that. But again, your mileage may vary on that. So,
okay. Yeah. Cause that's something I would not use, at least where I am right now. I've kind of learned to say, you never say never when it comes to witchcraft, but just right now, like I would not do that. So I don't know. I guess I was just wondering if you'd heard anything with that.
Yeah. I mean, the common use of that we've both seen quite a lot of in folklore is to use period blood in manipulation spells, right? So slipping into somebody's food. But that's a whole other thing. Huh. I mean, it's still part of like, I think they do it in Gnostic rituals and things like that as well, where they'll incorporate that into the cakes and ale sort of stuff, cakes and wine. But but anyway, so all this is, you know, to say I'm making a witch bottle because, and I don't want to get too into details, but, my current one, I don't think is active, and I'm expecting that I will want some extra protection over the coming few months for a lot of reasons. Uh-huh. And so I just want to have something there to kind of take some additional hits for me if I need that. So that's in process. I'm basically currently just in the process of, like, I have the jar, I have a few of the sharp items. I'm trying to time it and align it with a certain lunar cycle, which I'm not in right now. And then I'm also using this time to, like, anytime I see something that looks like sharp and pointy object, I'm picking that up and collecting it so I can add it to the jar. So that's where I am with that one. The next one was inspired by the book that we did, or that we're doing, which is Green Witchcraft 2. Electric Boogaloo, Witchcraft Boogaloo, right?
Right.
And this, she did elemental jars. She was talking about doing an elemental jar, right? Mm-hmm. And then when we had our discussion about it, I talked about the idea of like, let's break these, you know, I would do it where we break them apart, right? So you have an elemental jar for each element. And one thing that I kind of need right now is you know that like when you're reviving somebody who's unconscious with the smelling salts, like I need that sort of magically speaking sometimes when I get into either a creative slump or when I have a lot of creative work to do and I can't focus on which one. So I created a jar that's focused on the element air because that seems to be associated with creativity and communication quite a bit. And so
I've got you're an air sign.
And I am an air sign, so it goes really well. And so, and I'll send you a photo of this if you're interested. But I made this little bottled jar that I can open and close as needed. And I incorporated a lot of kind of air symbols and elements in it. So I've got feathers of three different colors. I've got a little golden fiddle in there, just because that has some interesting folkloric associations, and music is often associated with air. I've got a little sort of angel-like figure in there as a sort of like flying spirit. So I've got just a whole little series of things that are in there in this bottle. I took a piece of a favorite poem, and I took that page and I burned it, and added it to the jar. So that there's a little bit of that, in there as well, to have that kind of burnt book smell, or that sort of old book smell. And then there's coffee beans in there as well. Because what's a writer without coffee, right? I know that's not true for everybody. For me, it is. So what I'm hoping is I've got this actually kind of suspended from my little microphone arm here next to my desk. And it's kind of floating in the air. Specifically, it's actually hovering in the air. And I just kind of play with it as a way to sort of stimulate my creativity. And every once in a while, I might like pop it open and like give it a whiff and see if that kind of gives me that little boost that I need for that second, creative energy boom. And I've only had it for a little bit. I don't know that I've noticed a huge difference with it yet. So I will keep people posted on that, I suppose.
Okay. I think like the next episode, you know, it'll be good to do like a new thing, but also kind of a follow up on,
yes,
you know, so it's not just, okay, we did this thing and then no follow up, you know, nothing about it ever again.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I just sent you photos. One of the photos is of this little red capped jar that's hovering in the air. You'll see that one. So you'll see that here in a second. And that's that jar.
On Discord, on Instagram?
I think it's going to your text.
Oh, text. There we go.
We know each other in real life. So we actually text each other every once in a while. So that's okay.
Okay.
So that's one. And then the last jar I did, actually, this is an adaptation of a spell from, there's a book called Light Magic for Dark Times by Lisa Marie Basile, who we had on the show last year. And the whole thing is kind of focusing on magical rituals that you sort of create for yourself, focused on a variety of things. Self-care, I know, gets overused a lot, but they're very, very sort of focused on sort of meeting your immediate needs. They're built on the back of folk magic, but they're very contemporary as well. And I was trying to do different ones. One that was very traditional, which is the witch bottle. One which is kind of adapted from the book we're reading. And then this one is a much more contemporary folk magic approach, right? Mm. And so this is called a build your own underworld jar.
Oh.
And so the idea is, if you have things that cause you problems, could be habits, could be addictions, could be anxiety or feelings of grief or loss or whatever. Those things don't necessarily, it's not like you're necessarily able to just get rid of them with magic, right? Uh-huh. But what she kind of suggests is that you give them a home, that you give them a place to live. And so what I've done there is I took a standard kind of mason jar and I wrapped it with black yarn. And you can see, I think you can see in the photo, there's like a little pattern in there too, right?
Yeah, it almost looks like a I don't know any other word for it besides like God's eye.
It is a little bit like that, yeah.
Okay.
It's a little bit like that. And I couldn't cover the bottom of the jar is too slippery to get the whole thing around, but I got most of the jar covered in this black yarn. And then I took these black stones. We happen to have this like thing of black, you know, decorative river stone type things. Uh-huh. And I took those and I came up with sigils that represented some different things that I wanted to give a home in this underworld. And I marked each of the stones with those sigils, and I would sort of name it and hold it and think about that piece of me that I want to have a place, but not necessarily dominate my life, or not necessarily occupy my time. And I'm putting them into to this jar, and I did some. I put some stuff in there as well, sort of based on. Do you know William Blake's Poison Garden poem?
Possibly. I took a whole class on him, so maybe.
You're like, I took a class on him, but I hated that
professor. Well, I hated the teacher, so.
I think it's called Poison Garden. I'm going to look that up right now because I'm not sure. Or maybe I'm thinking the Poison Tree. Poison Tree is what I'm thinking of. Okay. Which is that I was angry with my friend. I told my wrath did end. I was angry with my foe. I told it not, my wrath did grow. Do you know that that poem at all? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So the idea is that like you can have like a garden where those things can live, right? So you create a kind of a poison garden for and that's where my underworld is. This is sort of a poison garden. So there's like Nightshade in there and Henbane. There's Devil's Shoestring and just some plants that are underworldly and also kind of create a space that will hopefully feel appropriate for those kind of feelings that I want to give this home while also, you know, maybe keeping them down a little bit.
Yeah.
keeping them in a stupor, so to speak. You bind them up a little bit. So that's kind of my three, and I'll post photos of at least the underworld jar on our Instagram so people can see that. I'll try to do the other one too if I can cut out some of the horrifying background grossness, the messiness of my office. But
that's really cool.
Yeah. So what about yours? What was your jar spell?
So mine was basically the elemental jar spell as well from the book. But I wanted to do all four of them. I guess I just wanted to try what she had recommended. Mm-hmm. And I guess like the use for it was, I don't know. This is a lot more... I guess in my head than I usually get, like a little bit more woo woo. I don't really know of another term for it. But so for those who may not know, I had my infusion a week ago as of the time recording this. And it knocked me on my ass. I mean, it was really hard this past week. So I was just kind of looking to reconnect to my body, if that makes sense. Just kind of like feel normal in my body again. And so I did basically the same thing you did, just with more elements. So I did air with, like, I took a fan and lit incense and waved like the smoke of the incense into the jar, and then added a feather in there as well. And then with earth, I added in a stone, and that it was a really interesting. It had like some, not a hole that went all the way through, but like it looked like something had kind of burrowed through it at some point. And my daughter had collected it at one point. A listener a few years back had given us some birch bark. I believe that was Claire.
I think so, yeah.
So I put that in there because it was kind of like, well, not only does it connect me to, you know, a tree and the earth, but it also connects me to, like, you know, a listener and community. So I feel like there was something else. Oh yeah, just some dirt from behind my house. And then water, there was a cowrie shell that I had saved that we got in New Orleans when we were there.
Yeah.
And just the tiniest bit of rainwater that I had saved. And fire, I had like an obsidian, you know, which is formed from lava. And I kind of caught the flame that I had lit. Mm-hmm. For fire, which, you know, doesn't really stay, but you know what I mean. It's symbolic.
Sure, no.
And I just kind of meditated on each one, if that's the right word. And so each element had their own candle as well. And I was sitting there and I had said aloud, so... Can one of you give me a sign? Like what I need to do, basically. Like, what can I do to help me? I don't know, just to feel better in my own body. And just the candle for Earth started like flickering like crazy. And the word grounded, like, came to my mind immediately.
Mm.
And all the other ones weren't moving, but they were like leaning towards the other candle in a clockwise motion.
Uh-huh. That's and interesting.
They had not been doing that at all. The vents, like the air conditioning, was not on. I wasn't breathing crazy. Like, and I had been staring at these for a long time as I was doing all these different, you know, like adding in the cowrie shell. And like I said, with each bit, you know, I really thought about it and sat there with it. And these candles were not moving at all. They were just like very gentle. And I asked for the sign and it was immediate. It was so bizarre.
That's awesome.
It was really cool. So I was like, okay, so I need to like ground myself. I need to, you know, be outside. I need to go for walks. Maybe I need to try some meditation, you know? So that was really cool to see, and to experience. And I don't know what, like how to work with the jar beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm definitely going to try. And I will say, I woke up this morning and took my daughter to school. And usually I come home and I pretty much have to go right back to bed.
Mm-hmm.
For, you know, a couple hours. And then, you know, I'll maybe get a few things done. But I was able to do the dishes and like do a couple loads of laundry right away and, mm-hmm. you know, get some things cleaned up. Like and that may not sound like a big deal to some people, but that is a huge deal for me.
Mm-hmm.
So especially a week after chemo. So it was just, maybe it was psychosomatic, but even if it is, who cares? Because I got things worked. Done.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was pretty cool. I'm very excited. It was just really nice to have.
So, I mean, one thing that sounds really interesting about this is it almost sounds like this is a new divinatory practice for you, or has the potential for that, where like you can sit down with this elemental jar, ask for guidance, and it'll sort of indicate to you what you need to focus on or what might work for you at that moment.
Yeah, because I was thinking about it and I was like, what would I have even thought to do if it had set, like if maybe fire had, you know, started going off or something.
Right. Yeah. Like, what would that have meant to you? Right.
Right. I have no idea. Like, it's like Earth was already in my mind. And did I influence that because it was already in my mind? Like,
or, you know, the other way around, like you sat down in front of this and it, like you said, it sort of, as soon as it leaned towards Earth, as soon as the Earth started flickering, it was like grounded, boom, and it hit you, right?
Yeah.
But like, would that have happened? Like if it had done that for fire, all of a sudden you would have felt like fire. Oh, this is the thing I should do, right?
Yeah. So I don't know, but yeah, it was very interesting experience. I'm glad I did it.
Yeah. That is really different. And it's, I don't know, it's such a cool way to sort of see that work. And see, that for me, like, because you do work with the four elements, because those do make sense to you and those sort of gel within your practice, like, that sounds really awesome. Like, that sounds like a really cool piece to have added into the practice, because it sounds like, again, you've found this amazing new tool, almost without realizing that's what you were creating, right? You almost created a sort of like elemental spirit, not a Ouija board, but like elemental spirit, like cell phone with like the four numbers pre-programmed in, right? Safety phone, right?
Yeah.
Your kids. And it's pre-programmed. And so it can put them all on sort of speed dial and get them all sort of conference called in with you for this. Clearly I've been teaching on Zoom for too long at this point, but it is neat. It's a neat, cool. It's a neat kind of, tool to have.
Yeah.
I was just saying, do you think you're going to use it some more?
I do, but again, I'm not quite sure how. Like, I don't know, besides kind of what she had talked about in, you know, you just kind of, I remember being skeptical about it and saying, well, it's kind of odd to me that you would make this and then just kind of swirl it around and that kind of, you know, activates the elements. But, mm-hmm. you know, I guess I'll try that and see if it works or connects with me in any way. And, and maybe still set up like, you know, the four corners or whatever.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Does it live on your altar now?
Well, so I can't keep a permanent altar. Mm-hmm. I don't really have a space for it right now. The piece of furniture I was using literally fell apart. it was old and it was not very sturdy anyway. So, that had to be tossed out. And so a lot of my stuff is in a few different boxes. So, I set one up last night and then I pretty much had to immediately dismantle it. But I think the next time I set one up, it definitely will come out
and kind of live there
with the rest of it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. We all know that basically you just have an entire room dedicated to American Girl dolls. And that's really where your altar is.
Don't call me out like that.
You worship the American girls.
Call me out like that.
I'm just teasing.
It wouldn't be so funny if it wasn't true.
That's great. Well, cool. Well, yeah. Any other thoughts on either of our jars or any questions for me on mine or anything like that?
Let's see. I think I need to do a witch bottle as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Do you feel like there's some things you're trying to mitigate?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just in case.
It's never a bad idea.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like it's definitely something I want to have on hand, and I don't want to get too far into it. And like making this sound like it's something really nefarious. And again, I don't want to get too far into it because I don't want to specifically reveal any of the ingredients or anything like that, because I don't want somebody to be able to sort of short circuit it if they listen to this and want to do that. But I mean, the fact is that I've got the book coming out, and that makes me feel very exposed and vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And I can handle thoughtful criticism. Like I've already seen some thoughtful criticism of the book, and I'm like, yes, good points made. Well, I appreciate kind of what I'm seeing there. But I also know that there's going to be people who come forward with like absolutely horrendous things to say, and who knows what they're going to do at that point. So, because I attach my real name to everything. So.
Right. And I guess I'm afraid of kind of getting a little caught up in that as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm kind of on board with you there.
Yeah. So just some general protection. And again, I'm not going to talk too much about what's specifically going in there or where it's going to be put or anything like that, but it's there to do some deflecting.
So. Yeah. So I have a question about these episodes in particular. Are these out for everybody or are these patron only?
These are for everybody. No, okay. Patrons will get them. Patreon patrons will get them first, as they do for all episodes. But, but these will go out to everybody.
Well, cool. I wasn't sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, these are hopefully going to be useful to folks. If people are doing Jar spells, container spells. I'd love to hear kind of what people are doing, because one thing that I've noticed is, witches love jars, right? This is one of those spells that, like, I think every witch I've ever interacted with, everybody who works kind of with magic in some way, shape, or form, has a version of this, has a version of a jar spell. But they're all oftentimes really different. So I'd love to hear kind of what other people do with their jars. So, yeah. So if you have jars and jar spells that you'd like to share with us, or just want to ask questions about our jar spells, things like that, you can do that. You can write to us at compassandkey@gmail.com or newworldwitcherypodcast@gmail.com. Is that correct?
Yes.
Hoo-hoo, yes.
Let's see. You can find us on Instagram at New World Witchery for Corey and at Lane NWW for me.
Yup. I feel so, feels like we're finally in the modern age, even though Instagram is probably like 4 years in the past for most people. That's okay though. We're immortals and we age slowly. So that works.
I wish.
You could also stop by the website newworldwitchery.com or leave us a voicemail on our voice hotline, which is 442-999-4824. That's 442-99-WITCH. I think that's it. Anything else? I guess, you know, you mentioned Patreon. If people want to support us on Patreon, they can do that. Patreon.com/newworldwitchery. That's what makes these extra episodes possible. So we do appreciate any support that people want to throw our way, and you get some cool stuff just for joining up with us. I mean, anything from early access to episodes to bonus episodes that aren't available to everybody. What are some other things they get?
A copy of your book later on down the road.
Yeah, at the $5 plus level. And I should say my Cartomancy book, I'm still working on the new book that's coming out, where that's going to be available in terms of the support level. Because that depends very much on the publisher at this point. And then, Discord, to get access to our Discord chat, which is fun.
That is fun.
Yep. So lots of good stuff. If you want to stop by Patreon and throw a buck or two or whatever you can afford our way, we appreciate it. So.
We do. We really do.
Yeah. Anything else?
Nope.
That was definitive and concise. Thank you. All right. Well, here. Yes. Lane, thank you so much. We'll see y'all next time, either in a regular episode or around the cauldron for one of our little witchcrafty episodes. Either way, thanks for listening.
Be well.
Witchcrafts is an occasional series from New World Witchery Podcasts. The music for this episode is The Devil's Son by The Widow's Bane, licensed from AudioSocket. Please visit our website at www.newworldwitchery.com for more information on this show or any of our other shows or productions.